In our Bible study last night, I was really moved by the whole panorama of action or of things that about George Bush. I knew him quite well, and he was in the House of I can't remember whether he was in the House or Senate, but anyway, called him and went down to visit him in Houston when I was running for office, and I spent a lot of time with him after that, and he was something special. And I didn't think it would. But I started bawling. I mean, that's the kind of, it had that kind of effect on me when I was listening up to all the stuff yesterday morning. But anyhow, I don't want to go through that again.
He was very well eulogized.
Huh?
He was very well eulogized. His character was. Broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Very well. But you got to die for that to happen.
Yeah, I watched. That's all I watched everything that was on television all the way through. That's why I missed part of it. And during the night, they reran part of it. And so I watched that. And so it had an effect on me that I. You know, it was almost like I can't explain it. I felt a connection with him that
what was so special about him from your point of view? Your visits with him, what did he have? They talk about his humility and they talk about
the thing that was from my standpoint, I needed his help when I ran for the legislature, and I had never met him before, and I called him and he said, come on down. And so I spent 2 or 3 days with him down in Houston. Anyway, it was just I can't hardly explain it. It's. I think he and I were about the same age.
No, he was about 14 years older.
He was 90.
He's 94.
Oh, yeah.
About the same age.
Yeah. Close. They were taking that good.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet, but. I can't get this out of my mind, but during the course of, I worked for the Republican National Committee, and I went all over the country teaching candidates how to run. I mean, and I'd had won an election, but they still wanted me to do it. It happened first. I worked as an advance man for the Republican Governors Conference, and as a quote unquote advance man, you go and make sure everything's prepared. I could break out in tears. I mean, it's that strong in terms of, you know, what I felt for him, and at least having the anyhow, enough about death. Let's go to Luke, chapter 1. I want to read quite a bit and we'll talk about it. For as many have taken hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There were so many false gospels written during this, around this time. I don't know what time. It says here somewhere what year this is, but anyway, you know, there's just some really goofy stuff. A lot of it doesn't even exist anymore. So there were these letters and manuscripts and et cetera, and they were just crap. I think we've talked before about the gospel of one of them was a description of his childhood where he took clay and molded it into a bird and then blew on it and the bird flew away, and just all kinds of stuff like that, which is just childish. And there were people tried to write, but that's why these four gospels are so important, because they got rid of all of the fairy tales that were surrounding him. We've talked about Luke, and I don't want to go through that again. And start in verse 5 again. Return to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. They were both now well stricken in age, in years. And it came to pass that while he completed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Now, you remember there were 24 courses of the priesthood, and each course had a separate function. And one of them was to make sure that there were no worms or stuff in the fires. It was all kinds of stuff. But the priesthood, they all had to exercise. There was no, during the course of their priesthood, they had to go through at least once every one of the 24 courses. And a lot of them were, like people would clean out toilets and stuff. I mean, it was a nasty job. and this, have I ever gone through, I'm not going to do it today, but if I haven't, have I ever gone through what each of those courses was that used to?
I don't remember that.
Huh?
Some of it, but I don't remember the going through 24.
Yeah, I don't remember us going through the entire list of courses.
The what?
I don't remember us going through
the
entire list of courses.
According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And remember now, the altar, there's the temple, and then there's the inner temple. And the first part of the inner temple was the candlesticks, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and that's where all, that's, they were in the
holy place, but not the holy of holies?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. So this, what's going on is really what's happened. What they did was they tied a rope around the priests whose order was to go in there. It's, in case he did something wrong and it was God killed him, they could pull him out without... Because there were so many details that were in this... It's the outer part of the inner temple. That if they did anything wrong, they could be killed by God. So it was a big deal. Anyway, and they appear in verse 11. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thou shalt..." What? But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And when thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And when Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, who standeth in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings." Remember, we've talked about the different vows, and John was... I can't remember. I think there have only been four in history, but...
Nazarite from birth, right?
Yeah. And he made sure he shut off the telephones when he went into the holy place.
You'd get killed for that, wouldn't you? Yeah, but...
especially answering the telephone. When
I could let it ring.
John the Baptist, he said it's all predicting John the Baptist's birth. But it had been, as I said, I think there were just a handful of these the Nazarites from birth. And remember, we did that deal when we did it for 6 months. We did the not a Nazarite from birth, but what the Nazarite vow was.
Yeah, I think we did it for 3 months, but anyway.
Huh?
Didn't we do it for 3 months?
No, I can't remember. I remember I cut it short and everybody yelled and it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, we at least gave us a taste of what this is talking about. John the Baptist was the first prophet in 400 years. He was everything that every star of football, basketball, every great politician, he was a combination of all those things. He would have been
bigger than Elvis.
Huh?
Bigger than Elvis.
Bigger than what?
Than Elvis. Elvis right. Presley. Never mind. I'm sorry. Probably too old, too young for you. Elvis. I can't help it. That's true. Sinatra.
Anyway, the idea that this is he was if you combined the greatest minds and the greatest football players and the greatest scientists and put them all into one, that's what he would have been to Israel. Again, as I said, the first prophet in 400 years. There's no way we can describe the honor that he had. And then to be baptizing, that's another story, but
you know, it's interesting your presentation of him. It makes me think, well, what did he do? What were his talents? What were his skills? What was he famous for? It was like he was famous for baptizing, for preaching.
Oh yeah, the preaching and the. It doesn't, I mean, the Bible doesn't cover really what, it doesn't give us the total picture of what he really was.
Yeah, because I don't know anything about him other than he was a prophet, he prophesied.
No, that's not what the prophet means here, but.
Well, he. Yeah.
But anyway, well, let's continue, maybe it'll help.
How would he be different, say, from Isaiah? Wasn't Isaiah the great Old Testament prophet?
Yeah, he was. He was at least as famous as Isaiah in terms of. But in many ways, well, I don't want to go there. In verse 18, and Zechariah said unto him, unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And then, now watch what happens. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. He's now, you understand now, he's in that inner temple, not in the inner temple. And it was a big deal, and so, as I said, they had people, I don't know if they did here to him, but in many ways, they tied a rope around them so they could pull them out if they did something wrong in that temple place. In verse 21, and the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now, again, remember, he was an elderly guy, probably, but who knows how old. But he was called especially, not really because of him, but it's really because of he and his wife, that took But it came to pass that as soon as the days of administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art my highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation it should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end of his kingdom. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now he's talking to Mary. Holy Ghost in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, this is important because it shows how Elizabeth and her, they were cousins, but Elizabeth, Mary was, well, you can you imagine what, she's not married, Well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to, I'm too spacey to be able to talk more in detail. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that while Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out of with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence, this is Elizabeth saying this to Mary. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of these things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, now this is called, what these next few verses are the, it's called the Magnificat, and it's I'll just read it. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away. The rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and then returned to her own house. Now, this was Nazareth was a small place. Can you imagine the idea, first of all, that you're betrothed, but not married yet? You're betrothed, she's betrothed to Joseph. And I mean, even if an angel came and talked to him, I mean, the idea that here was his fiance getting obviously more and more pregnant, you got to think that his mind was taken elsewhere to, you know. Has she really had sex with somebody? Blah blah blah. And the idea, the rumor mill around it. This is why she left and went to be with Elizabeth and Zechariah. But it's like, I mean. We can't even imagine what this would be like. The idea that she never had sex, but yet here she is getting pregnant. Here she is getting bigger and bigger.
With a story.
Huh?
With a really weird story.
And Joseph even he had to be, you know, even an angel visited him, but to see his wife, or the one, his fiancée, getting bigger and bigger, the rumor mills would have just, I mean, you can't even, it would be so beyond belief that she's having a child without having sex. That can't happen. But it did. Now, I've said a lot to say this. This is why that saying that I say all the time, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in thee. I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. And that should be our testimony. I am dead. There is no more me. I understand the evil one is the thing that every man worships, which is his own mind. And that has to die. That has to... It's already dead. It's just an instrument of our test to see whether or not we lean on our own arm of understanding or live by faith. Now, that's a big deal. It doesn't get any bigger. Now, if you're in a position where you feel that you can't, you have to do what you're doing, then at least say, Father, I don't know what else to do. But never justify it. Is that communicating? That's why the phrase in Luke that I often quote, I should have gone to bed. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. I must decrease, because I am dead. He alone lives. But the evil one is continually trying to cause us to believe that we still should live by what our mind, our thoughts, instead of by faith. Let this mind be in you, who is also in Christ Jesus. So they, being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Kino is the word. So that his mind was always a blank, so there was always a clear. And it says he did only what the Father, what he saw the Father. There's no more planning. There's no more. There's only living this instant. And again, I've said so often, if you feel that you can't do it, don't justify it. Say, Father, I don't know what else to do. You'll always put everything back on the Father. But if you justify yourself from anything other than faith, then that's about as bad as you can get. The just shall live by his faith. And that is, I believe the really way that would be said is the just shall live by the faith of Christ only. And that, because we have to see, we're dead. this thing is the evil one. It's as sure as going to Satan for advice. Does anybody believe that? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Any response? Does anybody believe it?
I hear it in the terms of talking. This is something I've been thinking about the last couple of days. It's eternal life, not temporal life. And that's the life that we've been given. It's a whole other dimension apart from our mind's ability to conceive or practice or whatever. And if we can grok that, then our minds don't have the power over us that it normally might, because our life is not based on what we see or hear or think or feel.
Yeah, I mean, there's no part of you in the world.
Yeah. And it's like even looking at you, who don't have much ability left to work the world, and yet eternal life is all you've got. And that's what you live, where, but that's where we're all going.
Well, you remember, always take the lowest seat. If there's something going on where you feel you have to do it and be in the world, then at least say, Father, I don't know what else to do. Help me. Never justify anything that you do in the world. Zero, nothing. No man cometh to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, his children, yea, and his own life also. And that's a scary thought. So never justify something you do with your mind. You have to see it is not your buddy. For years and years, I thought my mind was my best friend, and now it's just the blithering idiot that it always has been. Always trying to do something. What am I going to do next to fix me or to get more? Instead of, I rest in your sufficiency. I live by faith alone. The word that's used so often is abandon yourself, abandon yourself. And that means you lose sight of yourself. Because the whole idea of this evil one called our mind, it's what every man worships, every woman worships. And they worship their mind. May put God's name on it or something. But anything that's not of faith is sin. Anything that you have to lean on your own arm of understanding is sin. It's faith alone that matters. And that seems impossible. Seems impossible you could live by faith alone. But it's what we're called to do and be. Amen. Take a big guy.